And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, and welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. Well, today we're going to look at Satan's choice for Vice President of the United States. Let me repeat that. Satan's choice for Vice President. You know, many people on the radio and TV are telling us who they think should be the Vice President under Donald Trump. And there's all kinds of ideas out there. Some say Susan Brown, the feminist governor of, she's a Republican of New Mexico. Others say, well, it ought to be Marco Rubio, little Marco, I guess he was called by Donald Trump. Some say Ted Cruz. Some say Big Boy, you know, former governor of New Jersey, Chris Christie. And we have all kinds of ideas out there. It's just, they're all running wild. Now, Donald Trump put together a committee made up of Lewandowski, his campaign manager, and sort of headed by, supposedly, by Ben Carson, Dr. Ben Carson, a fine Christian gentleman. And this committee was supposed to, vet, I guess they call it now, name and vet a number of potential candidates for vice president. Now, Donald Trump himself has said that he wants somebody sort of like himself. He said, but he wants somebody, since he's a businessman and a real estate maven and tycoon, he would like somebody to be a politician. So they would know how to get bills through Congress and to, you know, combat a decadent and corrupt Congress. And then, of course, Newt Gingrich has been mentioned. I want to talk about Newt Gingrich today, and I want to tell you something that I'm not sure that you know this, but if you've read my books, if you've seen our radio programs in the past, I think you understand why I say that Newt Gingrich definitely has the vote of Satan. Now, I'm not kidding. I'm not, I have not been put here by God at Power Prophecy Radio to make up stories about people. I'm telling you the truth. I want to say it clearly so you'll know. I'm not trying to play favorites. I don't really care about politics. You know, I have not endorsed anybody, but I'm telling you that, of course, if we had to vote for somebody that's best, it seems that Donald Trump certainly beats the devil woman herself, Hillary Clinton. But Newt Gingrich is a wicked and a devious man. I think he's the most wicked and devious in the whole United States of America. And it absolutely flabbergasted me that anyone would say this dirty, filthy, lying, conniving, scheming, rotten, corrupt former Speaker of the House would be considered as vice presidential material. In fact, the man, he should be in disgrace. The man should be banished to Madagascar or Kenya or Jamaica, or I don't care what island in the South Pacific he goes to. Now, first of all, I'm not in the business of telling anyone who to choose for vice president. But the vice president is a symbol. You know, they ask Richard Garner, who from Texas, who was once the vice president of the United States under Franklin Roosevelt, they ask him, what about being vice president? What about it? Because he was vice president of the United States. Nobody even knows his name today. Nobody can remember him. And Mr. Garner looked at the newsman and said, the value of being vice president is about the same as a pitcher of warm spit. Boy, a pitcher of warm spit, ugh. Now, the vice president has no power at all, lest he be given power by the president. But, of course, if the president were to die, then this man goes right and takes that top office. We saw what happened when JFK was assassinated. Then one of the men who was involved in assassinating him, Lyndon B. Johnson, became president. And he promptly sent 500,000 United States soldiers, airmen, Marines, etc., to Vietnam, and ended up murdering 50,000 Americans over there. It's a pretty smart job, pretty important job, isn't it? Think of that. You murder the president, you take over, and then you murder 50,000 people. Now, Newt Gingrich is probably more diabolical and evil than LBJ would even be considered. Now, you may not think I'm telling you the truth, but I'm going to give you some evidence today. I'm not just talking about this man. I'm going to prove it to you. Now, when I turn on TV at night, the only programs I really watch are news programs. And sometimes they make me so mad and angry just seeing these news programs on with traitorous Benedict Arnolds and horrible people like that bimbo. That's right, I said a bimbo, Megyn Kelly of Fox News. What a dirty person she is. I read the transcript of the interview that she had with Howard Stern, Megyn Kelly. I mean, ha ha ha, she laughed and she discussed the size of her husband's penis. And she answered Howard's question, who would you like to go to bed with? He always said the word, F word. If you could there, what male anchor? Well, you know, she said something about Sean Hannity and Bill O'Reilly. I mean, she talked about which one she'd like to screw and which ones. This is a filthy, dirty bimbo. And I know she's gotten popular because of her controversy with Donald Trump. She's just a filthy, dirty bimbo. Now, I suppose some of you are probably turning off the radio now. You're probably reaching for that switch. You're saying Tex Mars has gone too far. Now, listen, friends. I love you. You're my audience. I want you to know the truth. And I'm getting older. I'm getting up there. You know, I'm going to see Jesus sooner than I probably even imagine. And I want to tell you something right now. I'm not going to go to heaven and be embarrassed before my Savior and tell him I compromised. You can't make me do that. I want to say it again. No one on this earth can make me go to heaven or put it another way, give me the opportunity here on earth to compromise. I'm not going to do that. I love Jesus too much. I love the truth too much. I know there are a lot of radio people out there, and some of them are my good friends. They have radio programs, and maybe you say, well, they're not as extreme as Tex Mars. They're kinder. They're nicer. I know they are, and I know that I come across as harsh. You know, when I do have a conference, and many people come up to see me at the conference, and they say, you know, Tex, you're a lot different in person than you are on the radio. You seem so mean and vicious and sort of like just ready to grab somebody by the throat or something on the radio, but in your writings, you're just like some machine that's, you know, broken its gear, and that, you know, it's a constant, you know, fifth gear. But when I meet you in person, while you're smiling, you're nice, you're a friendly guy. Well, I sort of like to think that I'm a nice person. I promise you, friends, I don't beat my wife. I don't curse anybody here at the ministry. I don't go out drinking and get drunk. I don't smoke cigarettes and all that. I think I'm a pretty good guy. But you know what? It doesn't really matter. I am a truthful man. I'm more proud about a plaque we have on the wall here in the ministry. It says, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." John 8:44. We have that as a plaque. I mean, it's on the wall in our ministry. That when you walk in the front door, you turn right around, look at the wall, and there it is on the wall. When you come visit us, that's what we stand for, the truth. And I don't make a lot of money around here, I'll tell you that right now. But I'm not going to get paid anymore if I tell you the truth or if I tell you a lie. So, you know, I got it all figured out. Since I'm not going to make any more money, well, I might as well tell you the truth. But on the other hand, even if I did make more money, I still would tell you the truth. Some people say, well, Tex, what if the Illuminati came up and offered you money to keep quiet? What if your revelations ceased because you were a payoff? You were paid off by the Illuminati elite. What if they came? What if the FBI and the IRS and everything said they're going to shut you down? And would you compromise then? Would you be frightened? What if they said they're going to put you in jail? And friends, listen to me. Listen very carefully. I'm going to tell you the truth. I love Jesus Christ more than I love this world. And, you know, I've lived in efficiency apartments without even a bedroom. And I've lived in nice houses. I've driven nice cars and I've driven old jalopies. I've been at times where I actually went to the refrigerator and there was nothing in there. But I was lucky because I had a couple pieces of bread and some mayonnaise, and so I made myself a mayonnaise sandwich. I can tell you about many times since I've been married to Wanda. You know, we didn't have any food in the house. Well, let's go buy a hamburger. I think I've got a couple of bucks somewhere. And I went down and looked in all my pockets and looked in, thought I saw 50 cents in the back of a. Finally, we pieced it all together and had enough gasoline and went down and got a hamburger. One of those, cheap ones. What do they call it? The dollar menu or whatever. That's before they had the dollar menu. I don't know what it was back then. And I want to tell you that the strange thing is I was just as happy when I made that mayonnaise sandwich as today when I make, let's say, a roast beef or a ham or something. I was just as happy. You know, when I began this ministry, I had an old Oldsmobile. Boy, I loved that car. It was old, but it was an Oldsmobile. Boy, that's a nice car. Well, it wasn't too nice because it's about 15 years old, but I love that car. The only thing is that Jerry, you used to be a mechanic. What's that thing when the alternator goes out inside those little sails? Little diode. Yeah, they kept going out in that car. Then the guy said, oh, this comes from China. These were made in China. They're not made in America. I've got a new mechanic told me that. I said, well, goodness, go get me one of them made in America. You know, I can't afford to keep getting these things put in. Alternators. Yeah, the little diode in those things. Other than that, it was a great car. You know, remember Earl Scheib Painters. Now, maybe you don't know about Earl Scheib, folks, but they used $69 and you could paint any color. Now, their colors were a little weird. Why they had those weird colors, but I had sort of a lime green color. And I went down there and $69. I don't think they painted the trunk or the inside panel, but, you know, going down the road looked pretty nice, sort of a lime green color. In my big old Oldsmobile. You know, Oldsmobiles used to be a little bit bigger than they are now. This was by no means a luxury car back then. It was too old, but You know, Juan and I, we loved this Oldsmobile we had and sold it to a musician, a man we knew and his wife. His name is Johnny Gimble. He's maybe you've heard of Johnny Gimble. He had all kinds of awards. He was a wonderful man, had a smile. And he came to our house, and he tried out his car. He wanted it for his mother, I believe. And Johnny Gimble was an old man himself, and boy, he could smile. He played the fiddle. He was the greatest fiddler in the world. I bar none. He was a fantastic fiddler. Johnny Gimble. You look him up. Johnny Gimble. He came over our house and got that. We had a friend. We told friends we were going to sell it. He told Johnny Gimble about it, and he came over. And, you know, Johnny Gimble didn't ask any questions except, you know, how much is this car? And we told him, and he paid us for it. He didn't do any bargaining or anything because he knew that was the lowest we could go. And that was what the car was worth. And boy, it was worth a lot more to us. It was clean. It was nice. It was old, but boy, it could drive. It could drive so good. I was up in Washington State on a TV program there, and I complained because the host had paid the other guest to go, but he didn't pay me. And I'd mentioned that I drove my car all the way up there from Texas to Washington. And oh, the host, you know, thought, you know, he would really, well, what kind of car do you have, Mr. Mars? And I told him, well, it was a 1976 Oldsmobile. And he changed the subject very quickly, you know. That's the way they do Christians back then. You know, they would have us on, you know, to compete with each other. You know, like this guest who's a fundamentalist fanatic. I mean, an atheist fundamentalist, that is. He was head of something called Fundamentalist Atheist Anonymous. But the host of these TV shows loved it that they would bring a Christian on. They wouldn't even give him transportation to get there. But they'd give some atheist or some new ager or occultist, you know, put him up in a nice hotel, pay his airfare and all that stuff. Well, listen, I've got off target. Let's go back to Satan's choice for vice president. I just wanted you to know that I'm telling you the truth. Now, Newt Gingrich was quoted in the Washington Post. He was asked about his political ambition. This was in 1994. He was Speaker of the House. He was a powerful politician. He was talked about constantly. He said, quote, I have an enormous political ambition. I want to shift the entire planet, and I'm doing it. Think about that. Wow. I have an enormous political ambition. I want to shift the entire planet, and I'm doing it. He's the most wicked man in politics. Now, we start off by reminding you, my friends, this guy can be properly called Mr. NAFTA, the North American Free Trade Act. That's the one that Donald Trump said is the worst trade deal that America has ever made in its entire history. The worst trade bill, NAFTA, the North American Free Trade Act. The worst. And who was responsible as Speaker of the House? Made sure this got passed? Why, that would be Mr. Newt Gingrich. Why would Trump say this is the worst trade bill in the history of the United States and then put the man that's responsible for it, Newt Gingrich, make him vice president? That doesn't make much sense, does it? Now, who was president then? Bill Clinton. But Bill Clinton and Gingrich worked together to get this NAFTA bill passed. Gingrich was the Republican Speaker of the House, and Clinton was the Liberal Democrat president. But they worked together, just like Paul Ryan and Barack Obama worked together. Is that what you want, my friends? Somebody that worked hand in glove with Bill Clinton? Well, you'll have it if Newt Gingrich becomes vice president. Mr. NAFTA. Now, they knew that NAFTA could not get passed by the United States. You see, you got to have at least, 60 senators that passed the bill? That's right. A treaty must get at least, 60 or two-thirds? I can't remember now, but they were short by one or two senators. They couldn't get the NAFTA treaty, because that's what it was. It was a treaty whereby the United States signed treaties, or a treaty, with the countries of South America, Mexico, Central America, and Canada, to drop their borders and increase trade and all kind of nonsense. So they said, why don't we just call it an act, not a treaty? Then all it has to do is pass by one vote, just by one senator. Now see, right away, that's crooked, a crooked, corrupt deal, isn't it? You have a bill you call a treaty, but it will not pass, so you change the name up to act, a legislative act, and that way you don't need the same number of votes. Corrupt. Diabolical. Now, you'll remember that Ross Perot went on the Larry King show and talked about how horrible NAFTA was going to be for American jobs. He said, you're going to hear a big swooshing sound. Swoosh. Because all the American jobs and factories are going to go down to Mexico and South America. They're going to be moved. We're going to lose millions of workers and jobs in America if NAFTA gets passed. Of course, Gingrich and Clinton said, oh, that's a lie. He's a dirty liar. Why, Ross Perot is a dirty liar. NAFTA is going to mean free trade. And we're going to have so many more jobs. It's going to be great for America. But listen, friends, I've been across America. I've been up to the Midwest. I've been to Ohio and Illinois and all of those states up there. I've seen that. They call it the Rust Belt now. And everywhere you find huge factories boarded up, chained up at the gate, rusting, where thousands of people had jobs. You find their homes. You find big buildings and even Walmart stores all closed down. And in town after town, they're dead. They're bankrupt from NAFTA. That is what has happened with over 30 years of NAFTA. That is what Newt Gingrich has done to America. Think about it, my friends. NAFTA has bankrupted America, and the middle class has not had a pay raise for that. They admit now for 15 or 20 years, NAFTA has bankrupted America. Thank you, Mr. Gingrich. But that's not all. Donald Trump said it's the most deadly job-killing trade bill ever passed. Thank you, Newt Gingrich. Now, while Speaker of the House, Gingrich loved to be called a New Ager. That was very interesting to me. You see, I wrote one of the first and most important books on the New Age movement. He said he was a New Age congressman, Newt Gingrich. And listen to something else he said. When asked who was the greatest president who ever lived, he said, why, that would be Franklin D. Roosevelt. What? Franklin Delano Roosevelt? Who tortured and tormented Charles Lindbergh, one of America's greatest heroes? Who put people in prison because they disagreed with his policies? That's right. Had him arrested. Had a show trial for American patriots who stood up and didn't want to go to war. And then Roosevelt put all those Jews in charge of the White House. And they developed the Morgenthau Plan to kill Germans after World War II was over. And then he lied and pretended that he was well, that he was not crippled. And the newsmen and the photographers agreed with him to lie to Americans. And for 13 years, he was president of the United States. That's right, a record 13 years. And it was only, 40 years after he was president that we even knew that the man was crippled and couldn't walk. They wouldn't take pictures of him. They didn't want anybody to see that we had a crippled president. Have you ever seen that famous one where he was getting up there giving his big Pearl Harbor? You know, since such, December 7th, 1941, we have been at war with Japan. He was standing up there at the pulpit in Congress, declaring war, Did you know that they brought him in his wheelchair, and he was literally strapped to the podium? He was strapped. He couldn't even move, but he stood there, and they only filmed it from the front because they didn't want you to know that the man was crippled. The man could not walk. The man had paralysis of the legs. But they wanted to show you a strong man. Now I want to tell you something, my friends. We've got a governor right here in Texas right now. He was just like Roosevelt. He didn't have any legs. He doesn't have any legs either. His name is Abbott. He's a Christian man. He's a conservative. He stands up for America. He stands up for the state of Texas. He's crippled. And it doesn't mean anything to me. It means a lot, actually, because I think the man's a brave man. He ran for governor of Texas, and he got it. He's one of the few politicians I trust in all of America, this governor of Texas. And he can't walk. He's in a wheelchair. Does that make any difference? Absolutely not. But he doesn't lie to us. He doesn't say, okay, you reporters now, you photographers, don't take any pictures of me in a wheelchair. I don't want anybody to know. Only Roosevelt did that. He was a liar. But Gingrich says he was the greatest president who ever lived. He was a socialist communist. And it was because of him that Russia was given half the world after World War II, and we had a Cold War, and we spent trillions of dollars to battle communism around the world while the communists killed hundreds of millions of people. And Roosevelt was responsible for those hundreds of millions because he loved Uncle Joe Stalin. And Gingrich loved Roosevelt and said he was the greatest president who ever lived. He was a communist and a filthy, dirty one at that. And his wife, Mrs. Roosevelt, was shacking up with another woman in the White House. She was a lesbian. While the president was having an affair, even though he was crippled, he was having an affair with a woman named Lucy Mercer. He was having an affair with a woman in the White House, and his wife, who was a communist, was having a sex affair, a lesbian sex affair, with a woman reporter named Loretta Hickok. So look up your history books. But he was the greatest president who ever served, said Gingrich. Now, Gingrich, back in the 90s, as a New Ager, came upon a book that he loved. The two authors asked him to write the foreword for this book. The name of the book, Creating a New Civilization. That sounds interesting. Think about it. Gingrich wrote the foreword. You can order this book. It's a paperback. I'm not going to sell it to you, but you can order it from Amazon. Creating a New Civilization. The foreword is written by Newt Gingrich, and he makes it very clear he approves of everything in this book. He loved this book so much, he bought hundreds of copies, and he gave each one as a gift. He gave a gift book to every member of the House of Representatives. Think about that. He sends out a gift, a free book, Creating a New Civilization, by Alvin and Heidi Toffler, Jews, fascist, communist Jews, are Heidi and Alvin Toffler. He loved this book. And he wrote a letter with every copy of the book to every congressman in the House, and he said, this is my agenda for America. This is my agenda for the whole world. Remember, he said, I want to shift the entire planet, and I'm doing it. So this is his formula for changing America. You remember when Obama had the political motto, change? Well, Gingrich had that earlier in the 1990s, change. He said, I'm going to shift the entire planet, and I'm going to start with America. I'm going to create a new civilization, and this book will tell you all about it. When we return, I'm going to tell you the kind of civilization that this filthy, dirty, Satan man, Newt Gingrich, wants for America. It's in Creating a New Civilization. I'm not making it up. You will find out what this man wants and why he's the most dangerous man in America. And he needs to get out of this country. We don't want to see his filthy, dirty face. I'm Tex Mars. You're listening to Power of Prophecy. Well, hello again, folks. I'm Tex Mars, and I want to tell you about my new book. It just came out, 226 pages, and I'll tell you, it's powerful. This is the book I've been wanting to do for many years, and for some reason or another, I'm not sure. I was delayed, and you know, sometimes you just have holy delays. But I've been researching on this book for a number of years. I went to a conference in California a few years back, and the topic that I gave a speech on was Barack Obama, the American Jewish president. Well, right after the talk, it was well received. The people seemed to appreciate my talking on that topic, but I was in the auditorium down where they keep the book tables and such there, and a man came up to me, and oh, he must have been around 55 or 60, but he had an angry look on his face, and he came right up to me, and he stuck his fingers right in my face about a fraction of an inch from my nose. He said, "How dare you say what you did about the Jews? I'm a Jew. We are God's chosen people. And what you said about the Jews is a disgrace." Well, I just listened to the man as he just literally called me quite a few names. And he said, "We are God's chosen. You're going to be punished by God. I hope you roast in hell for what you said here." So I said to him back, "Sir, may I ask you a question?" "Go right ahead," he said. I said, "Where did the Jews come from?" "They're God's chosen people. You say they're special? They're a different kind of people? You've even told me standing here that you're of a different blood. You're of a different flesh than I am. You look like you're about the same substance I am. I know what the Bible says, that we all came from Adam and Eve, didn't we?" As is, the Bible says, the book of Acts, out of one blood, God created all the people on the face of planet Earth. That's what it says in the Bible. "What do you say where the Jews came from?" You see, he had been berating me and telling me how great the Jews were, and that I dared to even say one negative thing about Israel. "How dare you?" he said. So I said, "Well, I'd like to know what you feel. What do you believe about the Jews?" He says, "Well, we know where we came from." I said, "Okay. I thought everybody came from the Garden of Eden originally. That's the book of Genesis. That's how God started everything." Obviously, he didn't believe that, so I wanted to know. I wasn't mad at him. I just asked him, and he was very honest with me. He told me. He said, "Originally, the Jews were planted on this planet by aliens from outer space." I said, "Really?" "Yes," he said. "Beings from outer space came to this planet on," he said, "you would call them UFOs or spaceships. And they landed in somewhere out in the South Pacific. They found an island there. And they seeded it with life. Seeded it with life. And they planted these seeds and they became the Jews, God's chosen. And now they're all over the world." I said, "So you were actually you're a special seed from another planet originally." "That's right. They were called the serpent people." "So you're a form of serpent person," I said. "Yes," he said, "that's right. And that's why the serpent is even in your Bible." I guess he meant the New Testament. "The serpent is called cunning and wise." You know, folks, that's all I needed to hear. The Jews were the serpent people. Now, I've been hearing these theories for a long, long time. And you know, this is actually taught in a number of synagogues. It's wrong. I'm not prejudiced. I believe that Jews are just like you and me. They're not special. Some are, some aren't. I don't really see any difference between the Jews and the Gentiles, except in their hearts. They're not chosen by anybody but Satan, and they really are serpent people. This man actually was, I don't believe the story about being planted by aliens from outer space. I don't know where he got that. I know now where he got it from. You know, I determined at that moment, I'd heard this story before. Now, I'm not saying that I bought into what he said about the aliens from outer space seeding the Jews, but I did know the serpent people, that theory, and somehow the Jews were connected with something they call the holy serpent. I wanted to know more about this holy serpent. And so I really began a investigation. And you know, when Tex Mars begins to investigate, he can sure dig it up. But I didn't have to go for it at all. I went online and there they were. It was all over the place. The serpent people. The people of the serpent. The people whose Messiah is the serpent. The people whose guide, whose leader, who actually is their protector. Their beneficial guide. Their folks. I found out that in the Kabbalah, the one that is worshipped is the holy or the sacred serpent. The Jews do not, I was under the misconception. I thought it, at least some of the Jews would worship the God of the Old Testament. I believe that some of the Jews would worship the great I Am, the Jehovah, the God that of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. But I was wrong. I was wrong. I want to apologize to you. I listened to the pastors of America say to me, the Jews believe just in God, our God. But we've completed Judaism. See, we have Christianity laid on top of it. First Judaism, second Christianity. We have Jesus. He was added to the Old Testament. The Jews believe in the Old Testament. We have added the New Testament. So they say Christianity is tied in with Judaism. It's like an add-on. It's like, you know, you buy your basic car and then you add on all the pieces to it, you know. Or you buy a suit and then you add on your shirt and your tie and all. But I want to tell you something, my friends. Christianity is the worship of God before the world began, because Jesus Christ says in the book of Revelation, he knew you and me before he ever created this world. From the foundation of the world, he knew those who would become his servants. You say, well, I'm a Christian. Then God knew you before he created Adam and Eve. Somehow in his mind, he knew you. He knew you would become a Christian. If you're a devil like Judas, he knew you too. That's what the Bible says. But I want to tell you something, my friends. The Jews worship somebody strange, somebody evil. That's why that religion is so evil. And I have brought this book to you. 226 pages. Now we're asking you to pay $20, just $20 for this book. When you see the cover of the book, it will blow your mind. You'll be shocked just by the cover of the book. It shows a horrible looking serpent superimposed on a Star of David, 6-1 and star. Out of his mouth is coming the Antichrist. This is the Jewish plan to take over the world and make the holy serpent the king. The holy serpent. They actually worship the holy. Judaism is, there's no such thing as Judeo-Christianity. No. Get this book. I've never written a book like this. It starts off strong and it ends strong. And in between the covers of this book, I quote rabbi after rabbi after rabbi. I quote the rabbis themselves who tell us we worship the holy serpent. All of the light of the world, the fountain of light he puts out. He's our light. He's our savior. The serpent. This whole world, my friends, is organized. You either worship God or you worship the serpent. And the Jews worship the serpent. This book proves it. I believe that many people will not buy this book. They will not believe it. They will say that cannot be. The holy serpent of the Jews, there cannot be such a thing. I'm telling you, friends, I'm an old man today. God put me on this planet so that I would someday write this book This book is written by Tex Mars because it tells the true story of the Jews throughout history who have brought to you a serpent religion. They are the synagogue of Satan. You must believe it. Get this book. See if I'm not telling you the truth. Just check me out. That's all I ask. If you don't like the book, return it. I'll give you a full refund. But listen, get this book. Order it for your friends. Order it for your pastor. Tell him, check this book out. It's not just Tex Mars' words. He quotes the rabbis. He quotes the Kabbalah. He quotes the Talmud. He quotes the Jews themselves. Please get this book. $20. Add $5 shipping and handling. A total of $25. Ask for the Holy Serpent of the Jews. We'll send it right out to you. We got plenty of copies. The Holy Serpent of the Jews. Fresh new book by me, yours truly, Tex Mars. Phone is toll free, 1-800-234-9673. 1-800-234-9673. You can also write to us, Power of Prophecy, 1708, Patterson Road, Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. You can go to our website, by the way. It's right on the front page. Jerry's my webmaster, and he put it right there today. Please get this book, Holy Serpent of the Jews. You can order it with your PayPal or your charge card from powerofprophecy.com. Maybe by next week it'll be up on Amazon.com. But you can get it from the ministry right now tonight, right now today, Holy Serpent of the Jews. And now let's return to our regular program. We're looking at Satan's choice for vice president, Newt Gingrich. Now, Fox News has given this guy a lot of credit. He's on Fox on one of the program or another every night on the Lou Dobbs show, Megyn Kelly show, with Bill O'Reilly. Bill O'Reilly mentioned the other night that probably Gingrich was going to end up as the vice president. Of course, first, Donald Trump has to win the presidency, doesn't he? But it looks like that's a pretty done deal. Newt Gingrich, who bragged that he was a New Ager. He said, I'm a New Ager. He started a New Age caucus. That means those people who thought they were far-reaching and, you know, affluent and they were really smart, they said, we're New Agers. That's what Gingrich called himself. And they would meet in a special room and discuss, oh, the future of the world and how everything's going to change. And he wrote the foreword for the Toffler's book. Remember, the Toffler's wrote the book Future Shock, a big bestseller. Future Shock. Then they wrote Creating a New Civilization. They're not happy with America. It needs to change. Let's just see what Gingrich wrote. Remember, he gave every member of the House of Representatives a gift copy. So impressed was he with Toffler's satanic anti-American viewpoint. Now, what do the Toffler's endorse? What does Gingrich want America to be like? Well, you'll read about the new agenda for America in creating new civilization. If this guy gets to the White House and is able to poison or pollute the mind of Donald Trump, or if he becomes president, it's all over for us. He believes in open borders, first of all. He says what we need is a borderless world, a world without borders. Talk about migrants. He's going to let them all in. We don't want a United States of Mexico. We don't want Germany. We don't want China. We want them all to be mixed hybrid together. Oh, well, I think the Jews want that. Well, that's in the protocols of the learned elders of Zion, but that's another story. Borderless world. Borderless world. That's his term. Borderless world. We need a planetary consciousness. That means we all need to think just alike. Think about that. The whole world have a brain. We're hooked together. And there's not Christians or Jews or Muslims and Buddhists or Hindus. We all think alike. We have a planetary consciousness. Consciousness is the way you think. It's everything about that you think about. Of course we all need to be transgender. Of course we need to have same-sex marriage. You need to be, to have a consciousness like everyone else on earth. A planetary consciousness. To get that, you need a altered political consciousness. What does that mean? It means you're not Democrat or Republican. You think about a future world. There's no world where they have presidents and courts and a legislature. There's no constitution. He says we need to do away with the constitution. So you want a man who stands strictly by the constitution? It's not Newt Gingrich. He says nationalism is outmoded. No more nationalism. No more the United States of America. Get it? No more United States of America. Get rid of it. It's old fashioned. It's obsolete. It's what he calls outmoded. National sovereignty. It means we're a nation. We have national sovereignty. We're different than Nicaragua or Uruguay or Brazil or Fiji or Madagascar or South Africa or France. But he says we should all be the same. Think about that. We no longer want national sovereignty, says the Tofflers, says Gingrich. In this book, Creating a New Civilization. He says we need to get rid of Christianity. No more Christianity. Now, more recently, he says, well, I'm a Christian. He actually went from being Southern Baptist to the largest. He said Southern Baptists here are old-fashioned, so I need to become a Catholic. He became a Catholic, and he was recently invited to a big Jesuit Congress where he went. So now he's a Jesuit Catholic. He's actually ghost. People are writing. I was ghostwriters writing books for him about God and about America. Hey, I've got the book of all books, Creating a New Civilization. What does he say in there? We need, quote, more diverse religious systems. He doesn't want to stay with Christianity. He wants them all mixed together. He wants a new religion, a world religion. The United Nations of Religions is just wonderful. More diverse. Remember when Al Gore wrote his book? He wrote a book and he said, we need to return to the goddess. We need to return to the mother goddess. Well, now comes Newt Gingrich to say, we need more diverse. That's more different religious systems. Now, let me tell you what he says about the Constitution. I quote, the Constitution needs to be reconsidered. Oh, yes. Forget the Constitution. It's got to be reconsidered. The system must die. George Washington, dead white man. Thomas Jefferson, John Adams, dead white men. We must replace their system. The Constitution needs to be reconsidered. It must die. Folks, think about that. What I've just taught you in the last 5 minutes, does that sound like a man that should be president or vice president of the United States? This man doesn't even deserve to be mayor of Tuskogee, Alabama, or Georgia, or wherever. I mean, this is an evil. The Constitution needs to be reconsidered. The system must die. No more Second Amendment. Why? That's obsolete. No more right to keep and bear arms. No. No more free speech. You can't say what you want. No, 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 no. We need a new constitution. How much worse can it get than this? No borders. In fact, he says we need to change the family. We need new family styles. Well, we got them, don't we? Same-sex marriage, transgenders. Obama has thrown out everything. thrown out the Bible and says, let's start with the devil's principles. I mean, a dirty, filthy 40-year-old man showing his genitalia in a little girl's restroom where girls see it is fine with Obama. And I just read the Charlotte, North Carolina newspaper where they said, get used to it. Get used to little girls seeing men's genitalia in bathrooms. Get used to it. No, I'm not going to get used to it. Are you friends? I will not have it. I will not allow my little granddaughter to go into a restroom where there's some filthy, dirty pervert showing his genitalia to her. That is not normal. It's sick. It's dirty. It's unchristian. It's pagan. It's primitive. And you, Obama, you are a filthy, dirty, rotten pervert. And you, Gingrich, saying we need new family styles. We need also a new economy. Oh, something like Bernie Sanders might give us, socialism, a new economy. You know, if you have a chance to talk with Donald Trump or you need to write him, say, Donald, if you voted for him or you're going to vote for him, say, hey, I want to vote for you, but I'd like to know, do you believe in a borderless world? Do you believe in a new economy? Do you believe in the new family styles? Do you want altered political consciousness? Do you want to end national sovereignty? Do you want to end nationalism? Do you want a planetary consciousness? Do you want to end Christianity and have a more diverse religious systems? Gingrich wants all those things. He wrote it. Read his foreword in this book. This is an indictment of Newt Gingrich. I didn't make up anything. He wrote the foreword. He's the guy who did it. Does Donald Trump concur with these horrible things? I suppose that Hillary Clinton does. No wonder the billionaire Jews want to see Gingrich made vice president. Now, Sheldon Adelson, one of the richest Jewish billionaires in America, he's head of all these casinos, the Sands Casino in Las Vegas. There's also a Sands in Macau, an island in Red China. He says he's going to give up to $100 million to get Donald Trump elected. Now, the last election in 2012, who was Sheldon Adelson for? Who did he promote then? The man's name is Newt Gingrich. That's who he supported. You see, I believe that Adelson got together with Donald Trump. And he said, if you will make Newt Gingrich as your vice president, I'll give you money. I'll give you the money. Up to $100 million. So Gingrich will be sitting just a heartbeat away. Now, why do they want that? Because Gingrich is a dirty Zionist. Let me explain that. During the last election, he ran for president. Gingrich did. He almost got the nomination, too. Mitt Romney took it away from him, but he almost got it. He was asked about the Palestinians. The Palestinians, who the Jews pushed out of their homes, out of their businesses, and massacred in a genocide beginning in 1948. He was asked about the Palestinians. Guess what he said? Quote, the Palestinians are invented. They do not exist. Now, I want to repeat that. Newt Gingrich said the Palestinians do not even exist. They have been invented. Now, friends, what about in America? We had many Indian tribes in America. The Apache, the Kiowa, the Cherokees, the Seminoles. Well, they didn't exist. That was only cowboy movies. That was Roy Rogers, Gene Autry, Tom Mix, Hopalong Cassidy. They didn't really exist, did they? No, they were invented. That was just for movies. You know what happened up in with George Custer, General Custer, fighting those Indians, Sitting Bull, all those? No, they didn't. That's all movies. That's all made up. It's invented. Now, dear friends, I've got a book for you by Ilan Pappy, a famous Israeli historian. It's entitled The Ethnic Cleansing of Palestine. He is a Jew, Mr. Puppy, P-A-P-P-E. We offer it here, this ministry. Call up and get that book. It's a historian's book about what happened to the Palestinians, how the Jews came from communist Poland, the Khazarians claiming to be Jews, in 1948 began to murder and commit genocide, and they took over Israel. At that time, it was Palestine. It wasn't called Israel. But today, there are very few Palestinians left, and they live in concentration camp communities. Murdered, tortured, men, women, and children by the Jews. And then Gingrich says they don't exist. They were invented. They don't even think about the Palestinians. They're an invention. Anyone who would say such a thing has to be a heartless, corrupt man. I wish I had more time to talk to you about Gingrich. I wish I could read some things from this book. He says, let's forget the first wave, the second. Let's forget about Christianity. Let's forget about American nationalism. Let's talk about the third wave. That's what they call Satanism, you know, the third wave. Humanity faces a quantum leap forward. This is the meaning of the third wave. We need a revolution, a revolution. And we need to puncture the national sovereignty. Did you get that? Puncture it like you puncture a tire with a nail. We need the globalization of business and finance. They're the globalist elite. Nationalism is first wave. We bypassed that. That's obsolete. Now we need to go to the third wave. The third wave. Let me read you here. The Constitution of the United States needs to be reconsidered and altered to create a whole new structure of government. Wow. We need to wreck the second wave institutions and design new, more appropriate political structures. The system that served us so well, that's our constitutional system, that's our founding fathers, it must in its turn die and be replaced. Did you get that? Now, to say that these proposals in creating new civilization by the Toffers and Gingrich, adding on his foreword, to say that they meet with the plan and great work of the Illuminati is a gross understatement. This is the agenda of the Illuminati. This is the end of our 200-year constitutional history. It'll end our Constitution forever. It'll end America forever. Gingrich is a communist revolutionary who dares to state outright that he intends to destroy the United States of America and set up a totalitarian new world order. He said, I have an enormous political ambition. I want to shift the entire planet, and I'm doing it. Wow. Wow. This is terrible. This is a terrible man. He claims to be a conservative. He's not. He claims to be a traditional Republican. He's not. He's a monster. Newt Gingrich, Satan's choice for vice president. I'm Tex Mars. I stand for truth. I know many of you. I believe you will stand with me. Friends, tune in each week during the same time and discover the power of prophecy.